sagte sie langsam und blickte verzweifelt in sein kaltes Gesicht. »Sie irren sich nicht. Ich war verzweifelt und kann nur verzweifelt sein. Ich höre Ihnen zu und denke an ihn. Ich liebe ihn. Ich bin seine Geliebte. Ich kann sie nicht ertragen. Ich fürchte. Ich hasse sie. Machen Sie mit mir, was Sie wollen.« Und sie warf sich in die Ecke der Kutsche, brach in Schluchzen aus, bedeckte das Gesicht mit den Händen. Alexei Alexandrowitsch rührte sich nicht und änderte auch die gerade Richtung seines Blickes nicht. Aber sein ganzes Gesicht nahm plötzlich die feierliche Starre eines Toten an. Und dieser Ausdruck änderte sich während der ganzen Fahrt zur Datscha nicht. Als sie beim Haus vorfuhren, wandte er ihr das immer noch unveränderte Gesicht zu. »Aha. Ich verlange jedoch die Einhaltung der äußeren Schicklichkeitsregeln bis zu der Zeit«, seine Stimme zitterte, »da ich Maßnahmen ergreife, die meine Ehre gewährleisten, und Ihnen diese mitteile.« Er stieg zuerst aus und half ihr beim Aussteigen. Vor den Augen der Dienerschaft drückte er ihr schweigend die Hand, stieg wieder in die Kutsche und fuhr nach Petersburg. Kurz nach ihm kam ein Lakai von Fürstin Betsy und brachte Anna ein Billett. »Ich habe zu Alexei geschickt, um mich nach seinem Befinden zu erkundigen, und er schreibt mir, er sei wohlauf und unversehrt, aber verzweifelt.« »Also, er kommt«, dachte Anna. »Wie gut habe ich daran getan, dass ich ihm alles gesagt habe.« Sie schaute auf die Uhr. Es blieben noch 3 Stunden, und die Erinnerungen an Einzelheiten des letzten Rendezvous erhitzten ihr das Blut. »Mein Gott, wie hell es noch ist!« »Furchtbar! Aber ich liebe es, sein Gesicht zu sehen. Ich liebe dieses fantastische Licht. Mein Mann? Ach ja. Gott sei Dank, dass mit ihm alles zu Ende ist.«
Echo-Pop-Radio!
Hi. Thank you, Diaspora. Thank you so much. Can we hear it for Diaspora Radio? Up next, we have the host of Extradiol. Extradiol is a slightly newer show on Echo Box Radio that focuses on a lived trans queer experience. And host Alma is going to be joined in conversation with Val. So that is for the next hour. If you're tuned in at home, keep it locked. If you're tuned in elsewhere, what are you up to? Let us know. Let us know in the chat. The chat box is active on channel 2. We're going to be going live until 1 a.m. for the Musikabau, a Deckmantel Festival 2023. We've got a lot more on the program. It's free to attend, so if you're in the city, come by and say hi. I'm going to pass over now to Alma and Val on Extradiol.
My face is the front of shop. My face is the real shop front. My shop is the face I front. I'm real when I shop my face.
Oh, you know what?
My face is the front of shop. My face is the real shop front. My shop is the face I front.
One, two, three, one, two, three, and we're live.
One, two, three, one, two, three.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome. Woo! Welcome, everybody, to this special episode of Extradiol. Today, I have a very... Today I have a very special guest.
Hey.
Your local dance queen, a doll of many trades, communications girl boss, freelance writer, DJ, also co-founder of the Los Angeles Collective. She loves reading, playing music, organizing queer happenings, and dancing her heart out in sweaty basements. Please welcome my special guest, Val.
Hi. Hi, Alma.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
How have you been?
Oh, yeah. I'm good. I'm a bit overwhelmed.
They're coming from somewhere, but I don't know from where.
Yeah, but it's a lot going
there's
on.
There's a lot of them.
Yes.
Yes. So how have you been? What have you been up to these past couple of days?
Communicating. Huh?
Yeah.
Just preparing for today, yeah. Working, yeah.
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 any special parties happened the last weekend, the weekend before or something? Something happened. I'm joking.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, I think we had one of the best Los Angeles parties ever. Thank you to Haraj North for hosting us.
Yeah.
And for X3 and Club Transmission for also collaborating with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was also my first club gig, which was very exciting.
Yes. Yes.
And hopefully it's not the last one. So,
the last
you know.
One. Okay.
Let's see how today goes.
It can throw you in the river after the set.
Yeah.
Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Even though nobody's listening, we can just get into it.
Okay. So this show is all about the sounds and the songs that shaped you, but also the sounds that you shaped. So we're going to start from like the early childhood memories. Do you have any sounds that you remember being a little Val baby?
I think for me, the first sounds that I remember is more like the sea and seagulls rather than music.
Okay.
Because I spent a lot of my childhood near the sea. So I think, I would say seagulls and beach and sea waves. Yeah.
Okay, wow. One more thing we have in common growing up, because also my hometown was also a sea city. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it really shaped how I feel about myself, for sure.
Okay. And then do you have any song that sticks out from that childhood era?
Well, I think growing up in Bulgaria meant that a lot of the sounds of my childhood were not so much like the popular MTV kind of sound, but more... Like, my mom used to play this pop folk channel, and most of the singers there are, like, these very bimbofied girls that sing about men and power and money.
Yeah.
So I think, and also it's very much influenced by the Middle East and North African sounds, because Bulgaria is very close to, obviously, like, Turkey and Greece. So, yeah, I think for me, that kind of sound is definitely what was most formative in those years, yeah.
And you have a certain song in mind?
Yeah, of course. That's why I brought my laptop. I mean, yeah, we can play one of the main tracks that I remember from my childhood that my mom used to play. It's called The Sun and the Dawn, and it's basically about this love story between this woman and a guy and how they kind of like miss each other in terms of their... love interests or
okay,
yeah, so I'm gonna play it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyhow,
gorgeous.
This is basically my mom cleaning the house and playing this kind of music. So yeah, that's formative sounds.
I love how, like, with no lyrics, this could definitely be like an Egyptian hip hop song of any moment. Like, it's basically the same music, but just probably the lyrics would be a different language. But
yeah, it's also, I think, the same themes, right? It's like mainly women singing about money and love and men.
Love,
so
and
yeah,
heartbreak.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So moving on from childhood to adolescent Val, do you have any song that like marked that period or like your coming of age sort of song?
I think many queer people will relate to the Tumblr era. And I used to be on Tumblr when artists like Mickey Blanco or Grimes or Brew Candy or Sky Ferreira, they were still no one. So they would upload their music tracks on Tumblr, on their blogs. And I think for me, like, Grimes was a big one. I think especially Genesis and, like, the video with Brew Candy, which is a very problematic video. But at the same time, it was very formative to me seeing queer people making videos and art online that I was really relating to, I think, yeah.
Okay. So Tumblr and Genesis and Grimes.
Grimes, yes. Mickey Blanco,
okay.
Yeah, this
Mickey
kind of
Blanco,
vibe.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so now we started like with the Bulgarian pop coming to the Tumblr. Now, what does Val listen to? What is your like latest earworm, something you listen to on repeat?
I think, I don't know if you're familiar with Anoni. She's this trans artist that used to be part of a band called Anthony and the Johnsons.
Is she publicly trans now?
Yeah, she's publicly trans. She came out. And I think I was having a really hot girl summer listening to Beyonce or, you know, the new, I don't know what kind of poppy tracks. But I think when Anoni came out with her latest album, like, my whole summer and my whole vibe changed. So it's been going on and repeat.
Okay.
For sure, yeah.
So it's a more dark...
It's just very, like, vocal and sad and trance. And, yeah it's really beautiful.
So that's your latest earworm.
I think that's on repeat for sure,
okay. I love the journey of, like, the pop singing about men and then going to Tumblr. And now it's sort of like the taking in life and its hardships somehow.
I think that's my vibe. Like, I can listen to, like... Middle Eastern pop and then go to Kim Petras and then cry like some sad song. Yeah, that's my vibe.
Okay. And if you would pick one song that would like define your transitioning?
My transition? Oh. I feel like my transition... I mean, what kind of transition do you mean?
From being a writer to being a DJ.
Okay.
What? When you realize
you're
a DJ trapped in a freelance writer body. Yeah.
Well, jokes aside, I think for me it's gonna sound very corny and cringy, but I think for sure Sophie and I think especially Immaterial was one of the first tracks that I remember walking down the street. And my whole body was responding to it viscerally. Like, I remember listening to Immaterial for the first time when it came out, like, 5 years ago. And literally just, like, crying without knowing why I'm crying. And my whole body just, like, shaking.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the first signs when I was like, oh, there's something going on that I don't know what it is. But this sound is making me just respond with this physical reaction to
it. Wow. Okay. So. I love that. Okay, so now we've talked like about all of the sounds and the songs that you like. So is there anything that you don't like? Is there any genres that you don't like? Any certain sounds that you don't like? Unpopular genres here, just to tell you, is black metal. We don't like black metal. Reggae somehow got discounted so many times. And last time we had somebody having problems with songs that has sentences that's sung in reverse. So Missy Elliott is also not a friend of the podcast. So who else? what more enemies do you want to put on this list?
I've listened to your show with the girls, and I noticed that country and heavy metal are very much...
I love country. I'm editing this part out of all of the episodes. Country will always have a place here.
Girl, yeah. Same. I think for me with music, it's like, I don't think there's ever a genre that I don't like necessarily, because I think the interesting thing about sound and music is that it has this like human nature to it that can be very relatable, I think, regardless of the genre. Because, I mean, I've grown up with like pop folk and then pop music, and now I'm listening to a lot of like alternative sad shit. Okay. And I'm also really obsessed with like very corny country music or church music. So I think for me, music and sound, just I'm very curious about it. Even if I don't like it, I think there's some kind of like human message to all kinds of sound that I could relate to. Yeah,
that's a very pageant answer.
Thank you.
So AI music, if you have to pick one, AI music, that will not float your boat. Like,
I love AI music. Oh.
So, okay, so you love everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the new Britney Spears, Mind Your Bee. Love it. Mind Your Bee.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Wow. Such a very diplomatic answer. Okay. So now we talked about the songs and the sounds. So let's like keep it to the artists themselves. Do you think like the identity of an artist either attracts you to them or pushes you away from them? Like, do you, knowing that an artist is trans, you're immediately, okay, I will give it a listen? Or if you vibe with a song and you always like a cis artist, you take a couple of points of the charts?
I think for me, a trans artist doesn't necessarily make me like them more. I think I'm more curious, and I would give a trans artist a chance, maybe, even if the genre doesn't speak to me. But at the same time, I think if the artist is, let's say, cis or straight, I think my standards of what I expect is just a bit higher, because if you're cis, you better give me something that I really am excited about.
Yeah.
But I don't think being trans or cis really matters for me in terms of like liking a sound. Sometimes it's very tempting to, to hype up a trans artist, but it's sometimes just shit, you know?
It's horrible.
Sometimes it's horrible.
But we're not going to say any names.
I don't care if you're trans.
But like, behind doors.
Yes.
The blacklist of the Los Angeles. Yeah. Okay. So now all of the songs that sort of like had an impact on your life, how does sounds or music feature into your like daily life now?
I don't know if you can relate, but I think for me, music is literally like the background of all my emotions and all my daily activities.
Yeah.
So I have really clear idea of what... Sorry, I'm just getting really distracted. It's so loud in here. Woo!
Yeah.
Anyway, I think I literally have like very clear sounds of what my mood is in the moment. So if a track is for biking, it's not for cooking. So
okay.
if a sound plays that I don't relate to in that moment as like a mood, it doesn't matter if I like it or not. It's just not for that moment. So I really soundtrack my whole existence by just different moods depending on the tracks, you know?
Okay.
It could be anything. It could be like a country mood or a church mood, whatever.
Okay.
But if that's my mood, I'm going to find what the soundtrack should be. Yeah.
So what is the soundtrack to this?
It's mosquito bite. It's like when a mosquito is in your ear when you're sleeping. I think that's the mood.
Okay. And this is like the moment we get a little bit personal. So what is your relationship to your own sound? So now we talked about the artists, the songs, and everybody. Now, what is your relationship to your own sound?
I think that's a really hard one to answer, because as like an aspiring music selector, I don't want to call myself a DJ, because I think what I like to do is just curate a vibe or an atmosphere. I don't really myself have a sound. I don't like to play or listen to one kind of sound. So it's a bit hard to figure that out or to maybe make it as an artist or a DJ, because people want to know what you're going to play, what kind of mood you're going to bring. Okay. And as someone that likes a lot of different genres and sounds, it's very hard to say what my sound is.
Okay.
But I think the vibe is always
cunt.
The vibe is cunt and hype. Energy and yeah. Sexy and yeah, that's
yeah.
That's okay. My sound.
Okay. But and how about your like vocal voice, like your human sound, the sound that we're hearing now through the microphones? That's the sound that I was going for.
That's an interesting question, because some friends of mine had told me that my own sound has changed as I transition. Which is very weird to me, because I never wanted to change how I sound, because I've had big trauma with my voice. It was like one of the main things that people used to bully me for, or,
okay,
you know, I have a little bit of a more high-pitched voice for a biological male. So that was very much like a point of ridicule for me.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to change it, though, because I've grown to like it, but yeah. Somehow it's changed throughout the years, I think, naturally, which... It's very interesting. I don't know. It's
okay.
It also depends on my mood. Like if I'm out and I'm partying, maybe a bit tipsy or high, I think my sound also changes.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation, yeah.
Yeah. But there's always like a calming component, like energy about it, if I might say, as a...
For my sound?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As part of the audience. I think there's always like a calming...
Even if
it's a crazy situation, there's a bit of... calm energy.
Yeah, I never go crazy.
Yeah.
With my sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And speaking of transitioning once more, do you think it changed how you interact with music, the music that you like, the music that you don't like? Did it have any impact on your relationship to your own sound, everybody else's sounds, etc.?
I think many trans people will relate to the fact that when you start transitioning, regardless if it's medical transition or social transition or just transitioning in your brain to who you want to be or who you are meant to be, I think for me, transitioning has made me more attentive to life and to sound and to feelings. So I'm a bit more sensitive to sound, or I'm a bit more careful with what I let in my ears, in my body. So I think that's been the biggest change, like just being a bit more attentive to the sounds around me, regardless if that's music or people or the city, you know, it's just a bit more clear in
more
my brain.
Attention. Yeah. Yeah, Ada was talking also about this attention to details.
Yeah, I think just transitioning makes you a bit more maybe centered and calm, and just you can finally like...
Centered and calm.
Well, we are crazy. I think all trans people that I've met are crazy in one way or another, but we are somehow a bit more attentive to what's going on around us. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? What's...
It has definitely somehow, I thought transitioning would calm and center me. Now that like the sort of trouble has settled in my mind. But it definitely has pushed me towards crazier sounds, towards giving everything a chance, and then just somehow realizing that I love sort of distorted, deconstructed, crazy, stretched out sounds, which I would never thought like a year ago that I would listen to.
Yeah, that makes sense. But at the same time, it does feel like you're a bit more attentive.
Yeah.
To what's coming in.
To what's coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you relate more. Okay. And do you think anything else in your life has had an impact? You see, transitioning gave you more attention to your sound. Has anything else, like moving or, I don't know, falling in love or whatever? Because have you lived in Amsterdam your entire life? I don't know that.
Have I done
what? I don't know that. Did you do just Bulgaria, Amsterdam, or you?
Yeah,
did you
I came straight to from Bulgaria to here. But I think one of the first times that I heard loud sounds in a club, when there's like a sound system that's so strong, I think that's when I realized that sound is physical and sound has weight, and it literally the sound waves can influence your body in the sense that if you're standing in front of a sound system in a club, you can feel how the sound waves literally enter and penetrate your whole being. And I think that really changed also how I relate to sound, in the sense that it's a real physical material thing. Okay. And that also inspired me for my funeral inspiration, because now my dream is when I die to be cremated and put in a sound system, and when the sound comes out, I'm being spread as sound waves. So you become music, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any idea where that could happen?
Haraj Nord? There you go. I think it's sorted.
Okay. Okay, cremated and boomed out of a speaker.
And.
Okay, cute. Okay, so now we're moving towards like the main question of the show. After all that you've told us about all of the sounds and the songs, etc., do you think transness itself has a sound, or that trans people are attracted to a certain sound?
I think this question kind of negates for me what transness is for me personally, because one of the biggest quotes that I always remember is from my friend Lisa, who's an amazing artist herself, and she told me that she was talking to a friend some years ago who's trans, and this friend told her that essentially transness is change and evolvement and growth, and that implicates that there's no sense of one stable thing, right? It means that things always keep growing, evolving, moving. So I think for me, sound in itself cannot stand still, you know? It's all about vibrations and waves just flowing. So I think in that conceptual way, that's transness for me. Sound in itself is very trans. Because it doesn't stand still. It penetrates. It changes material things, you know? So in that sense, I think that's how I relate to it, but I don't think transness in itself has one sound. Although I think a lot of trans people would say that it's like glitchy and deconstructed, but at the same time, it can also be very calm and
ethereal.
It can also be nothing, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a beautiful answer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
Okay. So before you grace us with your mix.
Finally.
If all of these people here are secretly trans or openly trans, and you want to like start off the party, what would be the song that you would play? And are you going to be playing it later?
I'm not going to play that today because I think nobody's really in that mood. But I think if you put a Nicki Minaj vocal on any kind of track, it works. That's been tested. I've tested it.
Globally.
I've tested it over the years. Yeah. Many kinds of audiences. Yeah. Everybody loves it. Nicki Minaj, vocal, any kind of track.
Hitting.
Yeah.
Beyond genre, gender, nationality.
No,
just
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you everybody for listening. This was an episode of Extra Dial. My name is Alma, and this is my guest Val. Hi. And now she will do, how would you describe the mix that you're going to do?
The mix, I think if you grab a drink and a little wine and just enjoy a more ambient kind of vibe, I'm not going to play anything club. But, yeah, it's going to be cute.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. See you next episode.
Thank you.
were friends, but times I was so cruel. Each night I'd ask for you to watch me as I sleep. I was so afraid of the night. You seemed to move through the places that I feared. You lived inside my world so softly, protected only by the kindness of your nature.
You are my sister, and I love you. May all of your dreams come true. You are my sister, and I love you.
So differently then, so similar over the years. The way we loved, the way we experienced pain. So many memories, there's nothing left to gain from remembering faces and worlds no one else will ever know.
Of my sister, and I love you. May all of your dreams come true. You are my sister.
to your knees.
Not going for that, no. Stay there for a while. You're rolling in the ocean. geschreven door Jan Moraal onder regie van Jo Fischer junior.